Okay, so the first Rashi in a Sefer is a pivotal Rashi. The Ramban is noted for his Hakdamos, and the Ramban al Torah is writing prose, so he has the luxury of writing extensive introductions to each Sefer and articulating what ideas will be developed in that Sefer. So a very famous Hakdamah of the Ramban to Bereishis, a very famous Hakdamah of the Ramban to Shmos. Rashi is writing short little snippets. So he doesn't have that luxury of long, elaborate introductions. He's writing little comments. But just like in Bereishis, his few little snippet comments were characteristic of the entire Sefer, similarly in Shmos. I want to talk about that first Rashi in Shmos at a global level, and then specifically what Rashi says. The first Rashi in Bereishis, very famous Rashi, why does the Torah begin with Bereishis, not a Chodesh Hazeh Lechem? In order to establish proprietary nature of this world for HaKadosh Baruch Hu, Hashem owns this world because he created the world, therefore he can distribute it to those he sees fit. And just in case there comes a time in history where our place in this land will be something of contention or will be disputed, just in case that ever happens, HaKadosh Baruch Hu is front-loading ownership so that no one could argue our presence in Eretz Yisrael. Because Sefer Bereishis really revolves around four general themes. Creation of the cosmos, the launch of human history, human experience, which is, of course, tethered to religious history. So there's not just the cosmos, but human beings are at the center of that cosmos looking for HaKadosh Baruch Hu. The stage upon which history will evolve on this earth, Eretz Yisrael, in the struggle for Eretz Yisrael, and a people, and a group of people, a family, who first realize HaKadosh Baruch Hu and can generate religious consciousness in the stage of Israel to redeem the cosmos. So there are four circles to Sefer Bereishis: the cosmological circle, the geographical circle, the historical circle, and the national or the theological circle. People discovering the Kodesh Baruch Hu. Now it's Shmos. Now you have a people. Ne'elu Shmos b'nei Yisrael. Ishu uveisel bo. You have people. You have a family turning into a nation, into homes, not just individuals. Ve'as lehem batim. The important words that thread the beginning of the Sefer. So Sefer Shmos is about Am Yisrael, because those four circles are waiting for a nation to live in Eretz Yisrael, to reflect HaKadosh Baruch Hu's theological recognition, to drive human history. So Rashi basically becomes a Hasidic Rebbe. The first Rashi in Shmos is the Rashi of Avas Yisrael. It doesn't say anything you need. It's not like the other Rashi's. I mean, he's responding to a particular question, why are the names repeated? Ve'el Shmos b'nei Yisrael, these names are no different than the names we read about in Vayigash, or certainly the names we read about more extensively in Vayechi when the brachos were allocated. So what does Rashi say? Afapi shemanim b'chayehem, b'shmosam, chazer manim b'misasam. So he lists their names again, even after they died. Okay, why? Here's Rashi. Lodia chibasan. Right? Hashem wants to show us how much he loves us. He counts and recounts, which is a recurring theme that Hashem constantly recounts. Rashi says a little bit later in Truma, like your gold coins, your money, you want to count how much you have, you look at your stock exchange, look at your stock market, how's the Dow Jones doing today, how much have I made? But then Rashi says another point. It's a very intriguing Rashi. People run by it because it's the first Rashi. You're on the clock. Time is running out. So this is an easy Rashi. Let's get to the hard Rashis, the grammatical Rashis that I skipped. The hard Rashis of grammar. So Rashi says, "Shenimshalu lekochavim, because they're compared to stars. Shemotzianu machnisan b'mispar, that Hashem constantly counts them, uvishmosam, and He names them. Shenemar hamotzi b'mispar tzva'am luchulam b'shemam yikra." It's a pasuk in Yeshaya. For our intents and purposes, let's think of the pasuk we read today, because it's an easier pasuk than Yeshaya. Mona mispar lekochavim luchulam shem yikra. Hashem counts the stars, and each star has its own name. So it's a similar pasuk in Yeshaya. Why did Rashi quote Yeshaya rather than the pasuk in Tehillim? Not for now. Rashi, you know Yeshaya as well as we know Tehillim, so it didn't make a difference to Rashi. But Hashem counts the stars, so we're compared to stars, so Hashem counts our names constantly. It's a very, very lush and rich Rashi, if you just break it down and see its constituent parts. Namely, the theme of Rashi is to show Avas Yisrael. Hashem loves us so deeply, and certainly on the eve of such suffering, as Am Yisrael is about to be subjected to misery and agony and persecution, it's important to celebrate Am Yisrael. And of course, the Sefer will end with Am Yisrael constructing the Mishkan and encountering HaKadosh Baruch Hu. But why the stars, why the numbers, why the names? That's the vortex of three factors that Rashi's dealing with. That our names are counted, so names are important. And we're like stars, Nimshalu Lekochavim, and Hashem counts stars, and that's important. Those are three factors that rise to the surface in Rashi. And this Rashi has understandably attracted a lot of attention, a lot of mystical elements here, what the stars represent mystically, what the names represent mystically. A beautiful, beautiful chassidus on this pasuk. But let's just stick to one layer. Let's try to create three layers of what's being conveyed here. Number one, the difference between stars and sand or earth, because Am Yisrael is also compared to sand and earth, and Chol and Afar are not the same. By the way, we should mention there are four things Am Yisrael is compared to demonstrate their rapid and accelerated growth. It's stars, sand, earth, Afar versus Chol, Kochavim. Then there's one in Yechezkel, which we recite during the Haggadah, Revava Ketzemech HaSadeh Nesetich, that made you as numerous as the blades of grass. So that's very relevant to Mitzrayim, because when you cut grass, it grows faster. V'chasher yanu oso ken yirbe v'chen yifrotz. So the faster they cut it, the more the grass grew. You don't want to cut a weed off. The weed will just grow back. You want to get underneath it and try to root it out. But let's not get to the blades of grass. Let's talk about the stars. Stars, as opposed to grains of sand, have individuality. They're separate. Each star could be the center of a solar system, of a galaxy. They're individual, whereas grains and clumps of sand tend to be only significant when they exist in units or larger units. And that's the relationship between stars and names. If each star has a name, no grain of sand would have a name. You wouldn't endow each grain of sand with a name, whereas stars have that chashiva. So, again, not just the love for Am Yisrael, but the fact that each person is an individual, especially, again, in the context of becoming slaves, and slavery abolishes individual identity and individual sense of experience. That's why a very famous kasha, the Ramban, when we have an Ezra, Vayelech Ishmi Beislevi, Vayekachas Baslevi, the Ramban interprets the famous medrash that Amram separated from his wife, but Miriam interceded and encouraged him to retake his wife. The Ibn Ezra just says very simple, that a man went from one town to another town and found a wife. Vayelech Ish went from Goshen to another town the Jews were living in, so the Ramban says, why is this so important? It seems trivial. May have happened, why is the Torah recorded or documented? The answer is because slaves typically don't make conscious choices about whom they marry. If they marry, which is very rare for slaves to marry because their children won't be theirs, they'll choose whoever's local just to live together. The fact that Ishlevi went from Beislevi and went to a different town shows that as much as they were subjected to slavery, the Jews were maintaining their individual identity and they were still maintaining marital customs that freemen maintained. Rav Amital would speak a lot about this Rashi in individualism. One of Rav Amital's revolutions was trying in a religion which is a culture of submission. After all, we're all sitting around this table and we all have to submit to the same rules, mores, and customs and rights. We'll all make Yiddish tonight, we'll all keep Shabbos. The goal of religion is more or less to reach a certain degree of conformity where we all agree with certain values and practices. But Rav Amital campaigned for people to be different, or to protect their individuality, to develop their individuality, even with being Oved Hashem, Adrab, to be a better Oved Hashem, to take the personal identity that HaKadosh Baruch Hu endowed you with and advance it and cultivate it and express it so that you'll really find your stardom and you really contribute to HaKadosh Baruch Hu's Avodas Hashem. So he talked about it a lot this week's Parsha, how names and stars are individual. See, it's interesting, he would speak about it in an age of mass production. Rav Amital was very attuned to general social experiences and patterns which pressed on religious identity. They thought that in an age of mass production, people felt like they all had to be the same. Because mass production, you create a lot of the same objects, large quantities of the same objects, and people were taking their cues from the industrial/commercial world around them, which was very powerful, obviously, in the 70s and 80s. I would say that probably the age of ideology creates a sense of conformity. We live in the great age of ideology, as I've told you so often. You know, Am Yisrael has experienced four or five traumatic or tectonic shifts over the last 200 years. Reform, the conservative, and Haskalah, and Hasidus, and Musar, and Zionism, and the Shoah, and Midrash Yisrael. So it was such a tectonic shift that Am Yisrael developed ideologies to group themselves. What do I belong to? Am I Dati Lomi? Am I Modern Orthodox? Am I Haredi? These are all transient. They come and they go. They've emerged in the last 200 years. They'll disappear in 200 years. It's important to find the grouping that you want to live in, but not to define yourself that way. And those ideologies tend to breed conformity. Oh, I belong to this group. How can I conform to its molds, to its models? Rather than saying, I live in the city, and what are the benefits of living in a Dati Lumi city as opposed to a Haredi city, this type of camp, that type? And then how can I then expand beyond the horizons of those very, very tightly woven models and become just as perfect a Jew as I can be? Yes, that's star. Stars don't have ideology. There's no modern Orthodox star. Anyways, there's no Haredi stars. They're stars. They're intergalactic. They're far beyond human experience. So there's a supernatural sense also. Remember, the light that we're seeing, that we saw last night, is a very bright star in the sky. That light is coming possibly from a star that's already died. that's already exploded, because that's how long it takes for the light of stars to travel. So there's a supernatural sense of hovering above history. I had a lot of Rashi's I wanted to talk about, a lot of parts of Rashi, trust me, we're running out of time. The second part of the stars is, of course, the fact that Am Yisrael is about to enter Galus, and it's about to enter a very dark period. And the metaphor of a star providing light and illuminating is very important at this stage. That even in Galus, for Am Yisrael, Galus is not just the punishment, but it's also a chance to change the world. And we're clearly changing Mitzrayim. Mitzrayim is the cradle of human religious consciousness. And the exposure to the Makos isn't just punitive, isn't just a penalty for the Egyptians, but to teach them basic lessons of theology. And without enumerating all the Makos, there's theological basis to every Makah. So Am Yisrael encountering Mitzrayim is not just, the irony is that we suffer in Galus, but we actually change human consciousness. We have changed the human world. We have changed human reality, despite the fact that we're always victimized and we're always subjected to hostility and discrimination. So we're the stars, of course, we're the stars, and we're the stars that HaKadosh Baruch Hu's moon. HaKadosh Baruch Hu's moon, HaKadosh Baruch Hu's the primary light, and we're the assistants, which is why the word Tzavakos is a play on words to stars and Am Yisrael and facilitating accessory agents. But on the eve of Galus, we are the stars that are descending into the darkness of Egypt, not just to suffer through that darkness, but to create light and to assist in the light of the moon, HaKadosh Baruch Hu's hidden presence in Galus, just like the moon is hidden. And during the day, it's always there, but it's hidden. So again, it's a very important imagery. Normally, Am Yisrael is compared to the moon. Here, if we're compared to the stars, then HaKadosh Baruch Hu is compared to the moon, and we're enablers of the moon's light to illuminate. The third issue is, of course, not just stars and light and individuality, but names. Remember, we talked about numbers, and the fact that Hashem enumerates the stars, but each star has a name. Chazal tell us that in Mitzrayim, as degraded as the Jewish experience became, there are three or four factors that they sustained. And the sustaining of those three or four aspects was the mandate for redemption, because otherwise they wouldn't have been redeemed. So they didn't change their language, they didn't change their clothing, they didn't change their sexual habits. According to one day, they weren't gossipers. You very easily see slaves whose imagination becomes assaulted. And you see this today, where there's a real tilt towards gossip and gossip websites. And it is very, very ugly, seedy, salacious talk. Their discourse remained refined. They didn't get involved in Lashon Hara. But according to all das, one of the things they didn't change is their names. Shaloshinu es Shemam. They maintained their names, which is why these names are enumerated. It wasn't just that first generation of people who descended to Mitzrayim who kept their names, but presumably everyone else. And you sense this in the names. Yocheved and Shifran. Poetzai Rashi takes pains to describe what Shifra means and what Pua means. Ironically, the only person whose name does change is Moshe. He's got beautiful Jewish names, but the only name that sticks with him is the Egyptian name called Minamayim Mishisiu. But that's for a different day and a different Rashi and a different time. But a name isn't just a name. A name is an identity. A name is an access point. So they maintain their identity. The Yosef Hayab in Mitzrayim, Rashi says, he kept his identity intact despite. So the naming isn't just because they were called, Shimon instead of Ramses or Ramses, but there was an identity sustained and their identity, as much as they were attacked physically, their spirit and their identity remained intact. So it's a beautiful Rashi macro level. Before we even address Rashi, he starts Sefer Shemot. So those who came a little bit late, the Ramban has the luxury of these long-winded proses before each Sefer. Rashi's genre is more snippets. But he positions a little snippet in the beginning of Bereshis, and a little snippet in the beginning of Shemot. This snippet speaks about the love of Am Yisrael as they're about to be subjected to such suffering and then recover and be rehabilitated and redeemed. And the specifics, there are three factors that Rashi introduces, and just think about how they interplay with one another. Stars, names, and numbers. Mona Misparla Kochavim, L'cholam Shem Mesikra. I'm just adapting Rashi for a pasuk that you'll all probably recall better than the pasuk that Rashi quotes in Yeshaya. Okay, have a great Shabbat, everyone. I have to apologize, I have to run out. We're making Bar Mitzvah the Shabbos. I've got Bar Mitzvah things to deal with. So I've got to run out and...